Good morning. I hope that you can feel and experience the presence of the Lord here today. And if you don't, I don't know what to say except for I hope you do and that you open your heart to Him. I'm excited to be here with you guys and I feel His presence. I want to thank again. So often I like to thank those of you who teach and lead worship and just the different things you do. Thank you for being led by the Lord to share and to use your gifts. And sounds like God's doing something in the pole barn. He was moving in the basement, speaking. Great time of discussion and just a wonderful time of spending this time together. So I'm excited. Apologize if I yawn a little bit. I was out a little bit late. I went to the bull riding show last night. I didn't ride myself. And I was very disappointed because I was kept on waiting for the next rider, wanting to see if Joe or Ben or Isaac or I know Dan and stuff is gone. So, but I didn't see anyone that I knew, so I was kind of disappointed. But someday, I'm hopefully sooner than later, I'm going to try it. Just don't hold me to it. But I am seeing why they say that women live longer than men.
Three weeks,
I know. She gave me permission after, but I'm more hesitant than just that. I don't recover as quickly. But for some reason, we're bound and determined to kill ourselves sooner, and there's something thrilling about the threat of death. I had fun, though. I took my sister Joy and her boyfriend that she brought back from college, my first time meeting him, so that was fun. I tried, but Joy wouldn't let me. Noah, he's a city boy, but he's willing to enter into that country life, so I'm giving him a chance. So that's not mine. I'm not good at, I don't know whose that is. Anybody here know who that is? Ray's like, you got your board here, you're ready to draw, and I'm like, no, that's not mine. I don't know whose that is, so I can't draw worth anything, and I can't write worth anything, so that's not mine. I want Ray, if you were able to get it to work, could you throw that picture up on the screen? And you can just let that sit there. Maybe that'll kind of set the tone for this morning. And really, I did it for Ray. It's one of my favorites. We're both very big fans of Far Side. And this is probably one of the first comics I ever saw. It was on the page, first cover of my first book. And I've always enjoyed that one because I've got sisters that do this all the time. They are definitely, in many situations, the pull versus push and the constant friction of falling up the stairs instead of down the stairs. So, but I liked that. It came to mind, and somehow God uses even the weird cartoons to get something across. I know that for those of us who preach or speak, that our methods of coming to our conclusion for our sermons are always different. Sometimes there's something God's been working in. Sometimes He gives us a scripture. Sometimes it looks completely different. It's a little combination today of just something that's God's been doing in my own life. And that's usually how it works. It's usually the strongest sermon for me is because it's something that I'm working through. It's not something I've mastered. And for this one, there's still kind of a question mark in some aspects of it for me, but I want to encourage you with what I have. I really do like that we have so many young people in here, and you're all young, right? But younger people here. I'm glad to see a lot of young adults here, and I always think about how the common question as a youth pastor was always, what is God's will? How do I know where I'm going? What am I doing? And I always love that. And us as adults, aren't we still trying to figure that out every day? So don't think that once you hit it, upper 30s or even late 20s that you're going to fully get it. It's a process. And the message title, I guess if you want one, I said pushing at an open door. And one of the comments I made in Sunday school this morning is that, and I'm trying to explain this in a way, that God's not complicated in the sense that He doesn't want to be complicated to us. If there's things that are complicated in this life, it's usually because we're complicated. And that usually the circumstances and situations that you and I go through and face is not of God's making, but of our own. And if something we find complex and crazy, it's usually because we're just chaotic and that we constantly make things harder than they should be. Evidence of the door that obviously says pull, but we sometimes want to push, right? Anybody identify with this picture? You ever find yourself in that situation where you're like, and how many of you parents, see, I'm not a parent, so hopefully in the relatively new future, maybe I'll be a parent. But for those of you who are parents, you ever look at your kids doing something and just kind of shake your head and say, why?
Every day.
Every day, every day, Mia, why? Just why? You're making this harder on yourself than you should, right?
Okay,
Anna. Yeah, but she's the one at home now, so you get her, you know, every day. So we'll go with, she's frowning at me, I'm sorry. Anyone else? Yeah, but no, as parents, you guys understand, and I've done this not as a parent, but, you know, as a youth pastor or different other things, never with your kids in Fort Wayne. But yeah, it was always... Sure, yeah, Joe was never one that I was like, why? We're still saying that. So you guys understand what I'm saying, though, is that there's those times that you just shake your head and say, it doesn't have to be this hard. You're freaking out, you're upset, you're full of anxiety, but you're doing this to yourself. And I sometimes thank God, again, he is the perfect father, but I do sometimes just imagine he's up there going, come on, really? It's right here. And that's what I've been thinking for myself. I'm like, Lord, I complicate things all the time because I like to be in control. I like to find my own way, and I like to make sure that I know what I'm doing, where I'm going, and how it's going to all figure out. Jenna and me, that will be probably our number one, and there'll probably be much more, our number one conflict area is that I'm a planner to the T. And in every case, I want to know how I'm going to get there, what it's going to look like, and what the end result and all the effects of it. And she's like, can we live in the moment just for today? And I'm like, she's like, let's just talk about and dream about the wedding. And I'm like, well, let's talk about our future. You know, how many kids? What is the nursery going to look like? That's me. You guys know I'm a worrywart. I'm a pessimist. The glass is not half empty or half full. It's just cracked and it's seeping out. So none of that's necessary for our sermon. This is how I develop, this is how I consider, you know, how I'm walking through this. Pushing at an open door, and there is a verse, and again, you don't have to walk away with anything I just said, but I want you to take this verse, there'll be more than that, but it has been a verse for the last 3 weeks that every day I wake up, and every answer that I've had for these last 3 weeks, for me, and maybe you're like, this isn't for me, and I'm like, one day it will be, but right now, this is my verse that I have been claiming every single day. And I want you to go to Revelation 3. And we're going to park there just for a second. And I'll probably mention it right at the end. But I want you to just hear this verse. And whether you're facing this now, or you will, or your kids are facing it, this is a promise that I know to be true because God has proven it. And then in a couple years or even months, I'll be asking it again and having to bring myself back to this. But I want you to go to Revelation 3, and we're going to read 1 through 8. Let me make sure I wrote that down. Yes. These are the words of him who is holy. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door, and no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And I think that it'd be easy to debate, you know, whether this is relevant to me or relevant to the Church of Philadelphia. I think it's relevant to both. And it is a promise that I've been holding on to. And, you know, oftentimes our circumstances to us look like a mountain, and if I were to share them to you, they just look like normal things, right? In the same way that each one of you face things daily that are stress levels for you, and that to me doesn't seem like a big deal because I'm not walking through it. These last couple months, I mean, really this last year has been a lot of different levels of stress for me, a lot of changes in life. As you know, I am engaged, but it's not just as simple as being engaged. There was a pretty big process they got into, and everyone who's married here understands that. And on top of it, with the economy being was, I was trying to sell my house plus buy a house and prepare for the wedding and try to work things out with a fiance two states away. And so all of that is built up, and because I'm a planner, it's been stressful. And there were some days that I'm just like, this, what it just said there further on, it says, I know that your strength is little, that you are feeling this. And there were days that she would call me and say, how are you doing? I'm like, I don't know if I can just get through the day. Like, she wouldn't talk about the wedding, and I'm like, can I just get through this week? And some days I'm just like, why are you still marrying me? I'm like, I can't even make it through the day, and you're excited about the wedding, and I'm excited too, but really, I'm just trying to make it through this week and make it to the wedding. And I know that sounds negative, but that's just really what this last year has been. Ever since we got engaged, there's been so much life change, and there's so many times that I'm just like, Lord, am I complicating things? Am I trying to figure these things out on my own? And yet, and I'm not going to go into all the circumstances, but me and Scott and Steph were talking last week, that within the last 3 weeks, and even really the last month, God has, in so many very, very clear ways, opened doors that I couldn't. And this is not a sermon about me explaining to you how you're going to walk through the door and what door God's going to present to you. That would be very arrogant of me to be able to tell you exactly what circumstances you're going to face and how you're going to get through it and what God's going to present to you. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I want to encourage you today, if you're feeling the way I was, God, there are so many doors that seem barred shut and I have no idea how I'm going to get through. I want to encourage you this morning, I'm going to read it again. And let's read it together. So these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And Stephanie, you said something last week that I really was blessed by. You said, sometimes God blesses us and shows us grace even when we don't deserve it, and generally we don't deserve it ever. So I like to say if I'm seeking him and I'm doing his will, everything's going to open up, but sometimes God opens up doors even when I'm not seeking him, even when I'm not looking for the door. And I found that to be true because there were certain things, and I'm going to get to a few pointers in a bit, things I was praying for, they got answered clearly, and there were other things I wasn't praying for but yet needed to happen, and God opened those doors too. And my first encouragement today is that, and it's a quote that I think that, Ray, you may have had last week on the board. I'm not sure, but it was by Corrie ten Boom. Interesting that you mentioned her last week. It says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And I have found that to be true because as a planner, some of you love living in the moment. Some of you, whatever may come for me, I can't live that way. I don't think that way. And to trust what is unknown to God is hard for me. It is one of the most difficult things for me to do, and it is a daily lesson and a reminder. I want you guys to think for a second, and you can raise your hand or just nod your head, but how many of you guys have ever asked the Lord for something that was really big but and important to you? You guys ever thought of something and asked the Lord for something big and great? Yeah? Things that were life-changing? Absolutely. How many of you asked the Lord for something that's really dumb? You know how many times that I'm like, this is absolutely a selfish prayer. It's not considerate of anyone else. And I want what I want when I want it right now. And I want it on my timeline. Absolutely. I pray those prayers all the time. and one of the things that me and my sister laugh about a lot, me and my older sister, is how many things that you've asked the Lord for and really wanted it at the time, if God had said yes, what would your life look like right now? Where would you be? How many of you would be married to your spouse right now? Anybody? If you got what you wanted when you asked for it. And so I told Candy, I said, when things don't go right, you know, all I know is that when I don't get what I ask for every time I ask for it, I'm so glad that God doesn't answer my prayers in every way that I want it. God always answers my prayers, right? Your prayers are always answered. Don't doubt that, even when it feels like he's silent. Don't doubt that he's always answering. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's maybe so, and other times it's not yet. Possibly. Those are all things that God always answers. And also understand this, if God says no to you, he's not saying no to you, he's saying no to something that's less than what he has for you. Every time God says no, he's saying no because there is something that he has that's better. So his no is a yes to something else. And I said, I'm glad that God doesn't always give me what I want, just like you don't always give your kids what they want when they want it and how they want it, because you know what the end result would be in that. Or at least you assume what that will be. And I'm thankful that the Lord knows what I need and that he has led me and opened doors. And I want to turn to a few passages this morning. I admire you, Nick, particularly when you preach. Your passages are always connected to a point and then the next one. I love that. I'm not very good. I'm scatterbrained. Meaning, when I'm preparing a sermon, it's like, here's a verse, there's a verse, read this chapter, read half a chapter here, and I'm like, how do I not just make everyone stare at the Bible the entire morning and go crazy? But that's how my mind works. But I'm going to read a few points. Go to Romans 8 real quick. And somehow this connects. All I know is it connected with me. Maybe it'll connect to you. We actually read some of this morning, but I want to read some of it again. Romans 8. and we're going to start in 26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Now, this is the part I want to get to. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? I'm going to stop there for a moment. That particularly verse 30, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who shall be against us? We all grew up with that verse, right? That was a pretty popular verse. But I've held to that. And usually I'm not thinking of supernatural. I'm not even thinking of an enemy. I'm thinking these circumstances, this wall, this barrier that I'm trying to prepare and plan and figure out, I have held to that if God is for me, none of those circumstances can be against me. Now, in the moment, I may not understand it, and I may not know which one I need to get over or what door I'm going through, but that is a promise that we hear in Scripture that says, if He's for us, what can? Not one thing in your life right now, and I can say this as someone who has grown in my faith, and yet I need reminded of this all the time, that so many things I think are bigger than God. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It says the problem with the way we view God is not because we don't see Him in light of who we are in Him. We see Him in light of who He is to us, meaning we've brought Him to our level. That we see God's inability because we see our inability, and therefore we ascribe that inability to God. We ascribe our lack of foreknowledge of the future to God's lack of foreknowledge for the future. We lack the lack of answer that we're wanting as God not knowing really what we need. Wasn't that Adam and Eve's problem in the Bible? That they wanted the apple. It wasn't really the apple that was just appealing. It was the feeling that God was withholding something that they needed and that God didn't know better. That knowledge that they had wanted so much, and Satan said, hey, you know, God really knows what you're going to get if you eat that apple. It's not just a good apple. It's something that He's withholding from you. And so there's always this question, does God really know what He's doing? And I'd love to say here at 30 years old that there are never days that I do that, but I do. And it's shown not because I will confess to you that I say it, but because my lifestyle shows it, and my decisions show it. If God is for us, who can stand against us? And I was thinking of the verse this week also, Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, and God has made all things what? Beautiful in His time. His time. I hate His time. I wish it was my time. I always wish it was my time, and yet He does. Throughout life, and every one of you can look back on your lives and the things that you've walked through, and at the time that you thought certain things should happen, it should look a certain way, you look back and realize what God has done through it, what He has grown and brought about in it, and it's a beautiful thing, but sometimes it takes years. I dated Jenna 6 years ago, and it was a wild ride after we broke up, and all that God was doing in our lives. God is not on our timeline, and it's been 6 years, but you know what's wonderful is that God's making things beautiful in His time, and it was a painful walk, painful road. Today is, I guess, more like a testimony time, but the reality is, as I said, when it comes to my home, when it comes to the purchase of my home, when it comes to my relationship with Jenna, it's hard for me to put into words or even express, and I'd really have to sit down with you. I think those of you who went to the shower, you guys got to hear a little bit of it. And she's told the story more than me, but there were so many things that God was doing in her that I was unaware of. And when God called me to go, it was these 6 years, it was, God, she's in my life. You brought her into my life. She is the answer to prayers, but it wasn't the right time. And it was just crazy. I hadn't seen her for 2 years, okay? And she told her side, some of my side, but I'm just going to sum up a really quick part of it towards the end, is it had been 2 years since I'd seen her, and this was 2021, and it was nearing September, and I remember travailing over this, Lord, I'm ready to be married. Everything I've asked for in a wife, she is, but I shut the door. We broke up. We're not even that close because she lives states away, and we talk twice a year. We're not dating, and I'm like, God, I have absolutely no idea if she's for me, and if she is for me, I don't know how to get to her. We haven't seen each other for 2 years. We're not dating. We are very distant friends, and all I know is she's dated two guys since me, and I have no idea if she's in a relationship or if she's not, and I'm like, am I crazy? And yet I know that deep down that God had brought her into my life, and I remember saying, Lord, it doesn't make sense, and I have no idea how this is going to happen. And I'll tell you, I was stressed because I'm like, I want to be married, and if she's the one for me, I need to make a move, but I also am terrified that this isn't what you have for me, and this is the way I'm processing. I remember sitting in my back room, and this was nearing September, and I sat down, and I said, Lord, she's everything I want. And I remember, it was not audible, but I, with everything that's in me, one of the clearest times he's ever spoke to me, said, the one are you waiting for? Go. I'm like, and what's cool is that soon she invited me and my family to come visit. Well, my family couldn't come. I committed to go. So here I am traveling to Pennsylvania, an open door to go visit Jenna, which I had not planned. And I also would never have planned that on my own. I used to date her. I'm going to go visit her family for the weekend. A distant friend that used to date her. That makes sense. And yet, the door opened up where my family couldn't go, and I was still going, and everything was great. And so I planned to go, and I said, told my parents, I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. The Lord said go, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to find out where she is. I'm going to make my intentions clear, and I'm going to get as close to proposing as I can, and she might flat out reject me. But the door was open. Long story short, God was doing a lot in her life and shutting down doors in her life that needed to close and opening up new doors. That for the last 6 years, many things were very similar in the sense that both of us kept on remembering each other and everyone and the few people that we had dated, and that God kind of kept us from going any further with anyone because he had held out for this. And it was a really cool to hear her side of it, because I thought when I got there, she was going to think I was crazy. I haven't seen you for 2 years. You're probably in a relationship, and I'm pretty much here to propose. And I come to find out, no, I wasn't crazy. God had opened that door for me, and he had opened it for her. All that to say, the story's not over. He's still doing that, and there's still things ahead. But it was so clear that God's hand was in the last 6 years. Because you know what's the reality was? My family struggled with me breaking up with her, because she's very loved by my family, and I'm very loved by her family. And me breaking it off was one of the hardest things our family walked through. And there were days that I'm like, man, did I make a mistake? And yet, looking back, Jenna told me, I'm glad that we didn't continue dating because we weren't ready. God wanted to do something. There were things that I got to do with this church that I would have never done if I had married her. And I see that now, and she saw the same thing in her own life. All that to say is that that's great for me and everything, but the reality is God did that for us without me even knowing. I wasn't acting off of his instructions for the last 6 years. I walked away with the absolute belief that I would never be in a relationship with her again, and God was going to take me somewhere completely different. And so my timeline was, it was going away from Jenna. What we didn't realize is us going this way was the wider round to go and meet in the middle. And God knew when to open the door and how. And I know that I'm not loved more than you are by the Lord. I think that's really what I'm encouraged about today. I just want to read a few more things, and then I'm going to close it up here. Just a few four thoughts, and I think that you will find within the brief story that I mentioned that you will find that in there. But I wrote down not four steps on how to walk through the door, just four thoughts. And you can judge them as you see yourself. I think problem was this morning God gave me most of these, and so I didn't exactly get to go through Scripture and give you verses for everything. So these are my opinion, and then you can base it off Scripture that you know aligns with it, but I think you'll find that it very much does. Here's four things that I just want to encourage you with when it comes to trusting the Lord for an open door and just some things to look for. And these are the four things that came to mind for me. Number one, the door that is open will never contradict His Word. Understand that whatever God opens for you, He's not going to contradict His Word. You'll never have to be in conflict of that. What does that require of you? You need to know His Word. You're not going to be held to judge or base anything off Scripture if you don't know it. And yet when you do, he will bring it to mind. He will remind you and you will know it, and the Spirit will open that door. So it will never contradict his word. Number two, oftentimes God will give a confirmation through a situation, through an individual, through circumstances, or even through his word. God always accompanies his leading for you with confirmation. And we talked about spiritual gifts this morning. If you want to know if somebody is walking in the Spirit and what they're using their gifts for, then you wait for confirmation. You don't take everything at face value, you take for confirmation. Number three, oftentimes it will happen without your own help. I get in my own way all the time, and often I try to dictate the outcome, and I try to do that myself, but oftentimes the doors that God opens for me are the ones that he opens without my help and without my ability. And just the fourth one is that the Spirit will give you a sense of peace and joy. And understand that peace and joy is not an absence of conflict, and it's not an absence of grief, and it's not an absence of chaotic life, but there is a peace in it, and meaning the last 3 weeks have been nothing but chaos for me, but there has been a peace, and there's been a few people that have come to me and said, well, what about this? What about this? And for the first time, instead of being like, absolutely, I'm terrified of that, I was able to say, God has opened every door to this point, and he'll open the next one, whichever way that will be. And I've been able to say that with absolute faith. And I wish you knew me enough to know how hard that is to admit. It's because I am a worrier. And to be able to tell these people who generally are the ones that are building me up in the faith, said, well, what about this problem? What about this problem? I was able to say, you know what? God has opened the doors here, here, and here. And this door may not look like what I'm hoping for, but he'll open the right one. And he'll make it clear to me because he's done it so far. And so it's been chaos, but I have this peace and this joy. Number one, the joy is there because God is working in my life, that God loves me enough to care for me. It said that when I don't know what to pray, when I don't know what to do, when I don't know where I'm going, that God is, that Jesus is doing what? He's interceding for me. And so often, I fail to see his hand, meaning I'm just not acknowledging it nor looking for it. And yet in this last month, I've seen his hand time after time after time because he loves me, not because I've earned it. And many of the doors he's opened, I wasn't looking for, nor did I plan for. And I was so joyful about it. Therefore, I was able to say, I'm at peace. Because here I'm asking for this, and I honestly don't know if this is the will of God. But if it is, that door will open. And if it's not, you can do a lot of things. You ever been locked out of a house or a room you weren't supposed to be in, but you're still trying to get into it, and you find yourself frustrated with the door, and you want to break it? Anybody broken into your own house because you were supposed to get in? Yeah. I don't have anger. Man, that's news. No. Confession time, chaos about 4 or 5 months ago. It had been an awful day and I needed to get to St. Louis and nothing was going right. These were the times that I'm like, either Satan or God's closing every door to get to St. Louis, but I need to get to St. Louis. And the last and final thing was my truck had gotten towed in Goshen, and my car keys were in it. And so what was also in my car where I needed to be also had my garage door opener. So everything, chain reaction, nothing worked. My keys are gone. Some far off place getting fixed, in that truck is getting fixed. I need to get my into my house to get my stuff, but I can't because my car's locked because my keys are somewhere. I went home and kicked my door in. And I was frustrated, and afterwards, it's still broken, and I'm having it replaced. Now I have to pay money to have it replaced. First time I've ever done that. But you know what I felt after? I'm like, that's why I'm not supposed to kick it in, because there's a reason for the lock, to keep people out. You ever feel that way in life? You will find yourself, when you are kicking against God's will for your life, you will find yourself kicking at a door you weren't meant to walk in, and you're frustrated about it, right? So then, those are all the answers that came to me of what should I do? What am I looking for? Well, how do you know if God's shutting the door? You just flip it on its head, okay? So I said, how do you know the door was meant to be closed? The what you're looking for will often contradict the will of God or the word of God, right? Nothing lines up. There's no peace. And everything you're looking in Scripture, you're like, well, this doesn't match up, but I really want it to happen. So the word will not line up. Number two, that you will have warnings from the people you love, even if you don't want to hear it, that something's wrong, that relationship's not good for you. that here's an issue here, or this is what I'm seeing, and there will be confirmation in a bunch of different ways, because God's really good at confirming that we're not supposed to do something, even though we really want it to be true. Number three, you will find yourself doing everything in your own strength and failing miserably to do it. And you will find yourself kicking at a locked door and being frustrated and angry all the time because it's not happening. Not to say that you don't need to wait on God's timing. Sometimes you are going that door, just not yet. But you will often find yourself doing everything in your own strength. And there's been times I've confessed to you that I've been so busy and chaotic that I've come to preach and I've done the entire sermon with my own strength. And it has failed miserably, even if I thought the content was good, because I did it on my own and it wasn't what God had put on my heart. And number four, you won't find peace or joy in it. And I'll never forget, Nick, when you preached about you and Linda, you say that in every situation you do, you look for the peace in it. And if you're not feeling peace, there's a reason. And that's absolutely true. You will find no peace and no joy. I kind of close with the thought, we like to pick at the Israelites, but I think we like to identify with them, and we don't like to admit that. But the reality is, God had opened many doors for them, right, when leaving Egypt. He said, here's the way, and he said, where I want to take you. He didn't tell them exactly what they would face in the process, but he did say where he was leading them, right? Land of Canaan, the land of the promise. And he had opened doors to go there, and he had prepared a person to lead them, and he had done signs and wonders to confirm it. And how many times did they get their eyes off God, and how many times did they make things harder on themselves for their decisions? Was it God making things harder for them? Was he putting stumbling blocks? No. It's because we're human. And thankfully, God's gracious, but man, to think that last moment where they were right on the cusp of going into the land, and what was the last thing they saw was the men of the land and how big and scary they were, and what was their assumption? Well, we're not going to be able to defeat them. Just like us, failing to look back and realizing we just got out of Egypt. We just saw God's mighty hand, and we also walked through water, by the way, but no, these men are too strong. We do it all the time. That's why this sermon's relevant to me, maybe not to any of you, but I daily have to look back and be like, why am I doubting you again? You've shown yourself to be true and faithful, and you have opened door after door after door, and here I am thinking this one's too hard for you. We get in our own way so often. So just a last thought, and I want to read two verses for you, and we'll close. It says, I wrote down here, and it was for me, it says, sometimes the reason the door you're waiting for is not open is because God is opening doors in other areas in order to make that possible. The reason why me and Jenna wasn't working out is because there were doors on both of our ends that needed to be opened before that final door was opened between us. And so some of your frustrations that it feels like God's not answering, I want you to remember something, is that God is also working in other people's life, not just yours. And the reason maybe that what you're trying to resolve with someone else is not because you're not able to walk through the door, it's because somebody else has a door they need to walk through before that happens. You don't know what it is. I'm not telling you you will know or ever find out. All I know is that after talking to Jenna, see, you don't always get the ability to be able to talk to the other person. But when I compared what I was doing, what she was doing, God was taking us through all these doors that had to happen before that door opened. And understand that. I don't know why God's not answering your prayer now or in the way that you want. All I know is that God is always working. And sometimes it's in something else or in someone else. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his own course, but the Lord determines his steps. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that I can do all that I can and still God's in charge, because usually what I plan doesn't work out so well. So I want to close with my favorite chapter in Psalms. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to read it. So if you would stand with me, we're going to read this together, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Psalm 139. My favorite psalm, it's been a life chapter for me. Most of you probably know a lot of it, but let's read it together. And I'm just going to read a portion. And I hope that this in itself is a prayer for you, but you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is far too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it. Before a situation happens, he knows it. Before a tragedy strikes, God knows it. I'd much rather put my hand in his, knowing that he knows the future, instead of for me to be able to see right in front of me with little knowledge of what's to come. And I just hope and pray that if you are facing similar circumstances where you're like, God, I need a breakthrough, whatever that breakthrough is going to look like, I hope that you can walk away in peace today knowing that he's got it covered. And in his time, he will make it beautiful. Lord, thank you, that sweet name, Jesus, who loves us, who cares for us, who chooses to work in us, Lord, though we don't deserve it, who shows us grace after grace after grace. Lord, you've told us that you love us, that you are for us, that if you are for us, nothing else can stand against us, Lord. And sometimes circumstances and daily stuff is a mountain to us. But Lord, let us see it through your eyes. And Lord, let us learn from it. I pray for peace and joy in each home today. And resolve, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the same thing in the breakthroughs that you gave me, that people in this room, Lord, would begin in their own lives to see breakthroughs, doors open. And Lord, that the doors that they're asking you to shut because they don't know how, that you would shut those doors and that you would open the doors in others' lives. And Father, I don't fear that we won't know the way because you always make it clear. When you open a door, Lord, help us to be obedient, to just obey, to walk in it, because it's good. All that you have for us is good, Lord. And you told us in your word, Lord, that you are a rewarder of those who seek you, that love you, that you take care of your own. And I pray for peace amongst this body, Lord. I thank you for each family here. I thank you that you're in the everyday workings of our life, Lord, and that it's not, you weren't meant to be complicated to us, Lord, that you want relationship, and that you will be our shepherd. And let us rest in that today. Let us find joy.